Hey y'all, come on in and take a seat as we dive into Get Out of Your Feelings. The word sensitive means to be quick to detect or respond to slight changes, signals, and influences, or having a quick and delicate appreciation of others' feelings. In my study time, I found three types of sensitivity which stood out to me in relation to godly characteristics. The first type, spiritual sensitivity, refers to being attuned with the Holy Spirit to the point of yielding to his guidance and promptings, which are provided to you. Spiritual sensitivity allows for us to discern God's will and respond appropriately to spiritual needs and circumstances. The second type, emotional sensitivity, refers to being aware of and responding appropriately to the emotions and needs of others. Emotional sensitivity births empathy and compassion. The third type, moral sensitivity, refers to being sensitive to what is right and wrong according to God's standards. Moral sensitivity embodies a strong moral compass and leads us to just and ethical behaviors. It is truly important for us to be led by the Holy Spirit, as I found that there are not only benefits of possessing these types of sensitivity, but there are also downfalls. Those downfalls include oversensitivity and a lack of sensitivity. Oftentimes, oversensitivity leads us to a place of being easily offended, while a lack of sensitivity leads us to a place of completely disregarding the emotions and needs of others. Let's talk about oversensitivity. When I began to build my relationship with God, I knew it was essential for me to learn how to pray effectively, so I began making prayer my posture. Although I didn't know the correct words to say, or I wasn't able to flow all that well, I didn't allow those things to discourage me or stop me from talking with God. As I practiced praying, I also began asking God to teach me how to pray. I started praying about anything and everything until I didn't. There was one occasion in particular where I had allowed my emotions to fester to the point of being out of control. So I sat on the edge of my bed and allowed weeks' worth of emotions to flow out through my tears and mumblings to God. The truth of the matter was that my flesh was battling this against my spirit. God had told me to say certain things to a person, and although I was obedient, my flesh did not desire to continue to be obedient. You see, I had taken offense to one of my friend's lack of actions, and my flesh desired to match that person's energy. But God desired for me to keep praying for this person, keep showing up as loving and supportive, and continue to speak his words to this person. As I sat there on the edge of my bed crying, I complained to God about how unfair it was for him to require me to show up to continue to show his love and compassion while this other person, in my opinion, did not. After a few minutes, God interrupted me and said, "Get out of your feelings and into your closet." The tears came to a halt as I looked around the room because surely my God did not say that like I thought I heard it. But oh, yes, he did, because he repeated it once again. Get out of your feelings and into your closet. As I composed myself, God began to deal with me regarding allowing the Holy Spirit to regulate my emotions and regarding the importance of praying continually. He revealed the purpose of allowing his spirit to regulate my emotions and continually praying to be the defense mechanisms I needed to use against the enemy's tactics during spiritual warfare against my mind. He revealed how that moment of what I thought was being vulnerable could have turned into a fuel for the enemy's attack to create division and halt God's plan if I succumbed to the attack. Reference Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. And if I had succumbed to the enemy's attack, the person that I had been offended by would have doubted the God that I proclaimed I knew and loved. God telling me to get out of my feelings and into my closet meant for me to get out of that place of lowness and offense and into a position of prayer for that person. You see, it wasn't the person that had offended me at all. Ephesians 6:12 informs us that we were not against flesh and blood. Right? Do you see how impactful that is? God truly changed my entire perspective of people and situations in that moment. The enemy could have launched an attack in my overly sensitive situation and persuaded me to misrepresent God and cause my friend, who was looking to me as the godly figure, to be led astray. The truth is, I was offended because of something within me, not due to the other person's action. I began to look inward instead of outward from that day forward. There were things within me that made me overly sensitive, and God revealed I needed to be delivered from those things. He revealed that everything someone says or does is not an attack against me, but it can be used as a tactic for the enemy to entrap me. If we allow the Holy Spirit to regulate our emotions instead of allowing our past experiences, thought process, and oversensitivity to consume us, we will defeat the enemy. It is not of God to participate in sowing discord, spreading discord, or being petty. If we are the people of God we proclaim to be, we should do as Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 and 17 instruct us to do, instead of being shady, distant, and cold-hearted towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. We must forgive and reconcile with a kind approach. If we are truly led by the Spirit, He will reveal our wrong in every situation and cause us to apologize, forgive, and reconcile. I'll express this again. We must be led by the Holy Spirit. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 tells us it is better to practice self-control. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11 says, good sense makes a man restrained from anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 and 25 tells us that a servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, but instead must be kind, possess a mild temper, be patient, be forbearing, and be willing to suffer wrong. Also must correct opponents with gentleness so they may repent to God and come to know Him. When it comes to forgiveness, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 18, verse 22, that we must forgive how many times? The answer is 70 times 7. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24 informs us to make peace with others prior to offering a gift at the altar. We must not become so consumed in the enemy's plot and plan that we forsake what the Word of God tells us to do. There is no argument against the Word. I encourage you on today to check your feelings. If you find that you have any ill feelings towards anyone, I encourage you to perform what God calls us to do in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, which is to go to the person and attempt to resolve those wrongdoings. During your examinations, I encourage you to perform an evaluation of yourself, pinpointing how your words and actions may have caused offense as well. But most importantly, I encourage you to be led by the Holy Spirit, for His words are for many purposes, including correcting us when we cannot see our own wrong. Reference 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. If you would like to read this blog post, head on over to realtalkwithkiwi.com and read all about it. Bye.